Please be seated. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading in the Old Testament, the book of Job, chapter 11. Job 11, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then answered Zophar, the Naamathite, and said, should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak, and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven, what canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men. He seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For a vain man would be wise, though a man be born like a wild ass's colt. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away. Let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. Because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as the waters that pass away, and thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth. Thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also, thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. But the eyes of the wicked shall fall, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. I chuckled a little bit when I was thinking about this earlier this week, when I was thinking about chapter 11 and the first few words. I think that Zophar asks a few questions that he thinks are rhetorical questions. I think they are too, but I think my answer is exactly the opposite of his. Isn't that an interesting thing to think about? Notice what he says here. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, Should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? I think he thinks the answers to those are yes, 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 and yes. And I think the answers are no, 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 and no. It's not always necessary to respond, is it? It's not always necessary to further the argument. It's not always necessary to have the last word. It's not always necessary to keep the party going, as it were. I think that when the three men are rebuked later on in the book, I think then they will develop for themselves the right answer to Zophar's question. That it would have been better for them had they not spoken than that they did. We live in an age where anyone with a keyboard can become a spokesman. And I know you have all seen them as well as I have. The endless, endless debates and the one-upsman and the last wordsman that must have the last word in this discussion and that discussion, and so on. Beloved, may I say that that's a very carnal way of doing business. That's not our business as the people of God. So Zophar justifies his speech, as will the other men, by saying, well, Job, nobody can keep silent in the face of errors like you're saying. Once again, this is a complete failure of sympathy toward Job, especially after the chapter that we read last hour, where Job is crying out for his insecurity and lack of knowledge as to why the Lord would have him in such straits. There's no identification with him. There's no sympathy for him. There is no heart toward him. You can almost get the picture that these men are standing over Job with their hands on their hips while Job suffers. So that's the first part. I found it very appropriate for our age of debate, our age of argument, our age of name-calling, our age of shouting one another down. Sometimes the better part is simply to let the wicked speak on. So, our Lord Jesus Christ will speak of this, that there does come a time when we must recognize that the pearls we're casting are before swine. So let us think on that. Let's meditate on that. I know that many of you are active online, and I'm not ever telling you not to be active on it. Maybe not radioactive. You get the metaphor. All right, so then he throws Job's words back in his own face by saying, thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. It is here that Zophar descends into something that I think is just mean, this mean-spirited. Because what he's doing is he's setting himself up as Job's opponent, and yet he's asking for the same thing that Job has been asking. Did you get that? But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, and that they are double to that which is. And so what Zophar is telling Job here is, well, if God would speak, maybe you'd listen. But that's what Job has been asking. Job has been asking for the reasoning that God has exercised against him in this. And so Zophar, I think, continues on with not really hearing what Job is talking about, not really hearing what Job is saying, and certainly without compassion toward him. He will say some true things, things that perhaps Job does need to hear. The truth is always seasonable, except when it's spoken unseasonably. Notice, know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Well, that's a true statement, isn't it? Now, can we understand why it's ill-spoken here? People ask me about my job. What do you think of your job as pastor? And sometimes I'll say this, depending on what's been happening of late. Sometimes I'll say, well, you see, I'm the guy that has to look someone in the eyes and tell them some really hard things that nobody ever wants to hear, and then in such a way that they ask me for more. That's really the job, isn't it, in some cases? And so what Zophar, Eliphaz, and Bildad have failed to do is set that context to where when they speak the truth, it can be heard. Right? A friend of mine a long time ago, some of you have seen me do this illustration before, he walked up to me and he stood fairly close and he said, put up your hand, and I put up my hand like this. And he put his hand on mine and he pushed my hand. Well, you know what I did? I kept him from pushing it. I resisted. He said, you see, this is what we do. We are resistors. And if we're going to hear someone when they speak to us, then that person that we're speaking to must know that we care about them, that we have their best interest at heart. And so far, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar have not done that. So far, Zophar has not done that, has he? And so when he says the truth to Job here, it's unseasonably spoken. Chances are it will not be received. It will indeed increase the difficulty between them. What happens if you have set yourself up as a resistor and you have not been wooed over yet, and someone speaks to you like that, you go, well, yeah, I know that. Anybody knows that. So what does that have to do with my case? Maybe some of you heard those exact responses or given them, right? So even when these men speak the truth to Job, it's not going to be received because they haven't laid the proper context nor foundation to be heard. So let's learn from that. When we have to speak to one another about things not so pleasant, let's make sure we lay that foundation. Let's learn from Zophar and Bildad and Eliphaz and from Job. So canst thou by searching find out God? That's a good rhetorical question. We all agree on the answer. No. No, you can't search out something that's infinite to its end. That's what the definition of infinite is. It has no end. And the Lord is infinite. He cannot be plumbed. He cannot be measured. It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? Now, what Zophar is doing here may be commendable in that he's trying to help Job understand that the ways of God are deep and they are wide and they are beyond us knowing. What we do know about him is that, and this is where he errs, is that he punishes the wicked and he does good to those who do good. It's almost a karmic understanding. And so, Job, the only path for you is to figure out that wicked thing that you've done and confess it. Stretch out your hands to God with that, and then you'll be clean and white again. And the Lord will treat you nice. So it's almost a karmic understanding, right? You do good, you will receive good. You do evil, you will receive evil. Not recognizing, it seems, that our best works are imperfect and tainted in the sight of God and not able to procure any favor from God. So then he will talk about vain men. God knows who's vain and who's not. And of course, the implication is, Job, you're that vain man. You're empty and yet endeavoring to call God into your judgment. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then thou shalt lift up thy face without spot. Thou shalt be steadfast and shall not fear. What Zophar assumes here is that Job has not lifted up his hands to God. That Job has not searched his heart already to figure out if there be some wicked way in him that he might lift up his hands to God in repentance and in confession. Zophar assumes he has not done that, when in fact, knowing Job as we do, he has. And having found nothing, he then is put into the perplexity that we read about in the last chapter. So then Zophar finishes out the chapter with some more statements of the blessings that will come if you just do the right thing, Job. Just do the right thing, and the blessings will come. And then he saves his thunder for last, the last verse, but the eyes of the wicked shall fall, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the goats. And so then Zophar closes on that negative note. Job will answer now, and his answer will compass in chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. And then Eliphaz will not pick up again until chapter 15.